You would please open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I want to look at two of the Psalms this morning. Psalm 62 and Psalm 63. Psalm 62 and Psalm 63. This is God's word. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man? Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him. For God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath, and high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely, you will reward each person according to what he has done. In Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. These are Psalms of David. And he was a man who knew great blessing and great hardship. He went through difficult times, even after his great victory over Goliath that got him elevated in the eyes of the whole nation. He was on the run from the king slash father-in-law slash employer, Saul, who literally was out to kill him for years. As I recall, it was 8 years that David was a fugitive from Saul. I mean, think about that. Think how old you were 8 years ago. Think about what has transpired in the last 8 years. I know there are a couple of people in here saying, 8 years ago, I didn't exist. But just think back and realize that for that much time, David was running from a murderous, demonized, crazy man who had an army. That's tough. But then that guy dies, and David is made king, so now it's all good. Well, no, not exactly. In his role as king, David continued to have enemies, including, as he describes here, people who would say nice things to his face, but in their heart, they wanted to kill him. David would go through a lot of suffering after he became king. And as you recall, some of it he brought on himself through horrible sin. But even when it wasn't his fault on other occasions, David was still suffering and had people who wanted him dead. So what do you do if you find out that no matter what job you get or what position you attain to or who's being friendly, you still have serious problems? You still have an enemy. What do? Well, try doing what David did. This is the position of all who are in Christ Jesus. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. Do you remember the Galatians? You remember that group? New Testament book of Galatians is written to some people who had professed faith in Christ, and then somebody came along and said, hey, that's not enough. If you really want to be saved, you got to do more. You're going to have to have a surgical procedure, and that'll fix you up. Then you'll be good. The Apostle Paul wrote to them and said, don't you dare do anything in order to try and earn God's salvation. Don't do anything to try and earn what God graciously gives. If I, let's say I invited you to my house because it was your birthday, and I said, happy birthday, and gave you a gift, and you said, oh my goodness, wow. Thank you so much. Let me see. What have I got here? Here, will this cover it? You think I'd say, oh, good, I was afraid you wouldn't pay me back. Or would I say, what are you doing? It's a gift. Folks, you can't earn a gift. You can't earn grace. God loves us not because we're lovable, not because we do the right stuff, or even because we try to do the right stuff. God loves us because He has chosen to love us. So in other words, I can just keep on sinning and do all kinds. No. If you believe God loves you, you really believe that about Him, the response is to love God. The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. And so our response to God is not what earns us His love. It is a response of love because of His love. And therefore, our confidence for our salvation is in Him and what He has done, and in Him alone. Are you trusting in Christ alone for your salvation? Or are you thinking, you know, I'm doing my part and hopefully God will make up the difference? We have no hope except in Him. And even David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, expresses that in this psalm. My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Verse 5, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Whatever you're going through, whatever happens, however tough it gets, trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. Do you ever pour out your heart to God? I did a lot of that last night. I spent a long time just talking with Him. Not trying to persuade Him so much as trying to get me in line with what He says. Prayer is not about manipulating God. Prayer is about connecting with God. Pouring out our hearts to Him. And that's what the psalmist says we need to do. And he says we need to do it even when we can't sleep. In Psalm 63, he touches on that. Verse 6, on my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. What are the watches of the night? Is this somebody with a bunch of watches lined up on the dresser? No. They had people, because enemies were real, they had people who were night watchmen. They were up during the night keeping a lookout, making sure that things were safe, making sure if a fire started, before it got totally out of hand, they'd be the ones to sound the alarm. If an enemy was coming, they'd be the ones to sound the alarm. And so the night was divided into little segments of 3 hours. So you might be on duty from 9 p.m. to midnight, or you might be on duty from midnight to 3 a.m., or you might be on duty from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. But those were the watches of the night. And David says sometimes he was awake through the watches of the night. So what do you do if that's happening? He says, I remember you, Lord. I think of you through the watches of the night. Why? Because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. When it's dark, draw close to God. And there in the closeness, even though it's dark, in the shadow of His wing, sing to the Lord. My soul clings to You. Your right hand upholds me. Now again, this is not some neurotic paranoia on the part of David. They who seek my life will be destroyed. He had real physical enemies who were out to kill him. Some of you have lived through very difficult things. I've only tasted that on a couple of occasions where people literally wanted to do me in. They didn't just want to slander me or say something bad about me. They wanted me dead. Okay? It is not a fun thing. I have had to deal with that seldom in my life. I have friends who've had to deal with it on a consistent basis for years. One of the people I greatly admire, who's now in heaven, was a neighbor in Montreat. His name was Billy Graham. And the FBI, he got threats all the time. And the FBI would review the threats and say, "We've checked it out. This person's just a nut. Don't worry about it. They're not going to bother you." But there was a period of time where the threats became very real from very capable enemies. And the FBI told Dr. Graham, who traveled all over the world preaching the gospel, "You need to protect your family." And Dr. Graham had to put a huge fence all around his home. I mean, a large piece of ground, kind of like we are up in the mountain. And they fenced all around with a high chain link fence, barbed wire at the top, and an electric current, and trained guard dogs. Well, that seems kind of like overkill. No, it wasn't at all. Dr. Graham's concern was not to protect himself. It was that he might well be away, as he was most of the time, and someone come and harm his family. How do you respond to things like that? Why wouldn't you just give up traveling and preaching? And if that's upsetting so many people that evil people want to kill you, why don't you just say, "Okay, I'm retiring"? Because our refuge is the Lord. I remember one time when a fella showed up at our church there in Montreat, and he said he had a bomb and he needed to see Dr. Graham. Oh, sure, okay. Well, I watched as the various security people came and positioned themselves around where this guy had seated himself, and gradually one worked his way over and took the guy's briefcase and removed it from the building. Dr. Graham, who'd been warned, didn't stay away. He came to church. And after the service was over, he said, "I'd like to meet with that man." Because you see, when people are making themselves your enemy, they need help. They need help. And so, David, in the midst of threats against him, went to the one place that is a sure refuge, and that is the Lord. He says, "I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." Now, Dr. Graham, I know from experience, was very, very gracious to people who were his enemies. His goal was not to hurt them, though he did want to protect his family. David, on the other hand, in the verses that follow here, Psalm 63, 9 and following, David makes it clear that he knows ultimately what's going to happen to those who are his enemies. "They who seek my life will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals." It's not a very happy ending. But David recognized the reality of God's enemies being destroyed. We were once enemies of God, and he mercifully redeemed us. But in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we also were by nature creatures of wrath. We were headed for destruction. The road that we were on is the road that leads to destruction. And so when David says this, he's simply describing the way things are. Those who are enemies of God and his people are on a road that leads to destruction. And so you may look and see people who hate God and speak against him and do evil things prospering and becoming famous and popular, and it seems like, wow, why is this happening? But they're headed off a cliff. That's not success. When I was a little boy, the joke in Chicago was about a guy who fell off the tallest building in town, and 20 floors down, he said, "This isn't bad." That was a joke. You're not laughing. But you see, the reason that people, kids, told that was because even a child knows if you fall off that building, it's the sudden stop that gets you. Okay? It's not tumbling through the air. It's that you are headed for destruction. I didn't check the news this morning to see if they found any more bodies in Miami. But right outside Miami, yesterday, in the middle of the night, a tall building, it was a very, very nice looking building, I think pretty expensive to live there, whole section of it collapsed with people in it. As I understand it, they got some injured people inside the building and were able to help them. They had some folks who went to the hospital. They had at least one person that they had reported as dead at that point. But middle of the night, about 2 a.m., all of a sudden, one story on top of another, just in the words of the authorities, the building pancaked. And that's what made it very difficult to find the bodies. Now let me tell you something, folks. If your security is somewhere other than God, you're headed for destruction. Pastor Wood, are you saying that happened to those people because they didn't believe in God? No, what I'm saying is, if you think what's going to protect you is concrete, you're wrong. If you think what's going to protect you is this or this or this or this, it doesn't work. Well, Billy Graham put a fence around his house and got guard dogs. Won't that protect us? No, ultimately no, because our worst enemies are not the people with guns and bombs. The worst enemy that we have is spiritual. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this present age and against spiritual wickedness in high places. And you and I need to realize that if we're looking to anything other than God himself, we're looking in the wrong place. Well, is it okay to have like security? Yeah. Is it okay to put up fences? Yeah. But where's your heart putting its trust? Are you depending on the Lord for your security? Are you depending on the Lord for your salvation? Because there is salvation in no one else. Verse 11 of Psalm 63. The king, that's David, will rejoice in God. All who swear by God's name will praise him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. So go back to verse 3 and 4 and 5. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. Is that what you do when you think about God? Do you sing like we sang this morning? How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? That's what we're saying. God is worthy of praise. Whatever you're going through. My mother's mother spent 14 years essentially bedridden with horrible, painful rheumatoid arthritis. And this was eons ago, when treatments were not as good as they are now, even though RA is still a painful thing. But there was less available, and they tried everything that modern medicine offered in the first half of the previous century. And she would lie in her bed toward the last few years of her life. She'd lie in her bed, and when the pain was most intense, she would sing worship to the Lord. Not complaining. Not turning her pain toward others, but turning her praise toward God. Because whatever you feel and whatever you're going through, God is still worthy. He is worthy of praise. I saw an interview last evening with Helen Rosevear, marvelous missionary doctor in Africa, who I believe it was 1964, was one of the people that the rebels targeted because she was an outsider. And she was brutally beaten and brutally raped, horribly treated and imprisoned. And God met her even there in the midst of her suffering and taught her to worship whatever you're going through. Whatever you're going through, worship the Lord. I don't know what you're going through personally in terms of your external circumstances or your internal battles, but I do know this. You need to trust in the Lord. You need to worship the Lord. You need to do what He says and give Him praise. Whatever comes, He is trustworthy, and He is worthy of our praise. Father, we come to You this day thanking You for Your kindness to us and praising You because of Your greatness. In Hebrews 11:6, we're reminded that anyone who comes to You must believe not just that You are real, but that You are good. You are good, Lord. And so we worship You. We praise Your name. And we ask that You would do what is pleasing in Your sight for Your honor and glory, that we might know You better and that we might show forth Your praise. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.